Hello, my friends. Today's show, it's a visual show. I want to show you a clip that the CBC program, This Hour Has 22 Minutes, deleted secretly from a video. I just noticed a sort of a flaw in their editing, and I thought, hey, what did they cut out? And I actually wrote to the CBC, and they, incredibly, showed me what they cut from a video. And I think it gives the whole game away. I want you to see what they cut. I want you to see it with your own eyes. To do that, you need the video version of this podcast. Just go to rebelnewsplus.com. Click subscribe. It's $8 a month. You get all the video goodness and the satisfaction of supporting Rebel News, because you know we don't take a dime from Trudeau. All right, here's today's podcast. Tonight, the CBC's government comedians join the Liberal Party's campaign against Pierre Poilievre. It's March 25th, and this is the Ezra Levant Show.
Shame on you, you censorious thug.
I'm old enough to remember when the CBC's comedy show, This Hour Has 22 Minutes, debuted. It's about 30 years ago. I was alive to the biases of the CBC back then, but I tell you, their biases were lighter then than they are now. Now they're just, they don't even hide it. You know, for a few years back then, the CBC actually had a regular debate show where they had a permanent left-wing host named Judy Rebick and a permanent right-wing host named Claire Hoy. In every episode, they would have one guest on the left joining Judy Rebick and one guest on the right joining Claire Hoy. Just stop and think about that. The CBC actually had a permanent seat, two permanent seats, one for a conservative journalist and one permanent open invitation for conservative guests. I myself appeared on that show a few times when I was a college student. It's unthinkable now. In fact, the CBC soon abandoned that pretense of balance. They canceled Face Off and they replaced it with a show called Counterspin with only one permanent host, a far-left activist named Avi Lewis. And then he was replaced by an even further left-wing extremist named Carol Off, who I think would describe herself as a Marxist. So that's the CBC. But I'm telling you, for a brief moment, the CBC pretended to be even-handed. That's about 25 years ago. And I think that applied to their comedy show, which debuted at around the same time. This Hour Has 22 Minutes. Again, this was back before the internet really took off. This was before the proliferation of hundreds of TV channels, endless internet channels. So back then, there was actually an audience. 22 Minutes often had a million viewers on real TV. I'd be surprised if they hit 100,000 today. They actually even talked about free speech back then. Here's Rick Mercer doing a rant. This is almost 20 years ago now. Now, this was actually from the Rick Mercer Report, which was a spinoff from 22 Minutes. But still, take a look at this.
People who cover politics in this country, they know the name Ezra Levant. The rest of the country, they couldn't pick him out of a lineup, which I always believed was a very good thing because, without a doubt, he's one of the most aggravating men on this earth. And I only say that because, in full disclosure, he happens to be a friend of mine. I've known him for over 10 years. The last time I saw Ezra, I was doing a show in Alberta. The audience, they were all conservationists. They were saving rivers. Ezra picked me up after the show for a beer. I walked out front. There was Ezra, leaning against his Hummer, smoking a cigar, and yes, the engine was running, which I'm sure he did purely for my benefit. The man is a provocateur. He is an agitator. And now, thanks to the Alberta Human Rights Tribunal, God forbid, he's a freedom fighter because he has been defending his actions in front of that tribunal for the past 2 years. He has no idea when it's going to end. He has no right to a speedy trial. He has to pay his own legal costs. His accusers do not. So what is it that Ezra did? Well, he published the Western Standard, which in my opinion is a completely nutty magazine. He once published a column by a stay-at-home mother of nine who offered witty tips from her pastor on how to avoid your children turning out gay. But to be fair to Ezra, every time I complained, he'd say the same thing. You should write your own column. I'll publish it next week. word for word. If nothing else, Ezra believes in freedom of speech, which is why I knew when half the world exploded because some newspaper in Denmark published cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, I knew Ezra would republish those cartoons so we could see what all the fuss was about. Yes, it would offend people, but I knew he'd do it anyway because that's what Ezra does. But hey, it's a free country. Well, it used to be. Since then, he spent over $100,000 defending his right to republish the cartoons. And his magazine? Well, the irony there is they went out of business. The gods of the free market took care of that. Turns out not that many people were interested in what the magazine had to say, so it's gone. But if we're not careful, if we force the Ezras in this country to shut up, our freedom of speech could be next.
You'd never see that on the CBC now, just never. Now, I'm not glorifying the old days of the CBC. I know it was biased. I know it hated the West. It hated conservatives. It hated Christians, hated guns, hated America, hated the Reform Party, whatever. But I'm here to tell you that it was a fraction of how bad it is now. Which brings me to this latest effort by the CBC show, This Hour Has 22 Minutes. It's still around. Stop and scratch your head for a second. Imagine how weird it must sound to anyone outside of our own country that the state broadcaster gets tax dollars to hire comedians to make jokes. Like, the fact that we consider that normal is so unusual. And 90% of the time, those jokes target conservatives. Here's a 22 minutes battle axe named Mary Walsh. Remember this?
Mayor Ford, it's me, Mark Delahunty.
So, but can I go
Mayor
into my
Ford,
car, please?
I gave up the Princess Warrior stuff, but when I saw what was happening to you,
can I
came all the way from Newfoundland to talk to you, honey.
Put the plug in the jug, keep the muzzle on, dog.
He was a much gutsier kind of fella than that.
So that was the late mayor of Toronto, a conservative populist named Rob Ford, and he was taking his five-year-old daughter to school at about 8 a.m. It wasn't even fully light out, and the CBC ambushed him at his family home, coming right onto his property and terrifying his daughter. Not a lot of funny in there. A little bit of terrifying for the family. And there had been serious threats to the Ford family. And the CBC thought they would just stalk him at his home. But hey, it's funny because she dressed up in a costume, right? Anyways, Mary Walsh is a bit long in the tooth now. But This Hour Has 22 Minutes has reprised that shtick. But without even the fig leaf of comedy, no costume, no theme, just barging in and interrupting conservatives for laughs. But it's such a low effort production this time, they forgot to add the laugh track, which was always essential with Mary Walsh. Laugh tracks are amazing. I don't know if you realize how powerful laugh tracks are as a subliminal effect on you. There's a human instinct when you hear other people laughing, you want to laugh too. You ever notice that? Try watching any TV sitcom with the laugh track removed. You can find a lot of them online that way. You realize how essential the laugh track is in modern sitcoms. Watch the first minute or so from this episode of Big Bang Theory with the laugh track edited out. Take a look.
All right, Pictionary, what are the teams?
How about boys versus girls?
Oh, that hardly seems fair. Yeah, but I guess any team that I'm not on has a decided disadvantage.
Once again, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Once again, I know.
All right, round one. Here.
Got it.
Okay. Ready, set, go.
Box. Window.
Batman. Batman and Robin. The Wonder Twins plus the monkey. Wonder Twins plus the monkey and Batman.
That is so unfunny, isn't it? I'm not picking on that show. They're all unfunny without the laugh track to cue you to tell you that was funny. Well, without further delay, let me show you the latest, unfunniest video you'll see all week. A CBC government comedian reprising that Mary Walsh interruption trick without a costume or a theme, without any jokes, really just a Liberal Party heckler. Let's watch the whole cringeworthy thing. It's only a couple of minutes, and then I'll take you through it minute by minute. Let's take a look.
Pierre Poilievre loves free speech. You can tell by the way he hates talking to the press and hasn't responded to any of our requests for an interview.
Maybe he just doesn't check his email, but he did reach out to me personally with a very thoughtful robocall.
I'm Common Sense Conservative Leader Pierre Poilievre calling to give you a special invitation to my Spike the Hike, Axe the Tax rally at 1 p.m. Sunday, March 17th, in Halifax.
And the next Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Poilievre.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Halifax! I can resist everything except temptation.
I tried to get Pierre to notice me by playing it cool. But I did have to stand in line with my fellow Patriots.
Wow, Pierre Poilievre, such an honor to meet. My name is Dan, I'm with 22 Minutes. It's so nice to meet you. Canada's next prime minister and laser eye surgery success story. Congratulations, I think you're doing an amazing job. If it was up to me, you'd be the leader of the opposition for the rest of your life.
Well, I won't be, sadly for you and you, but you know what? You'll have to earn a living rather than getting it from taxpayers' money.
I love that you're cracking down on crime, all right? I love that you're cracking down on murderers, thieves, CBC journalists. I love that you're cracking down on axing the tax.
That's why your ratings are so terrible.
All right, my friend.
No, I think that's heartland.
Thank you, sir.
Listen.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Pierre, we love you, Pierre.
Okay, thank you. Just come up this way. You're done.
Getting snubbed by my hero was the greatest moment of my life. So I decided to get back in line and do it again.
I'm happy to wait and just, you know, cross my fingers, I guess.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, we're gonna have to just monitor our timing.
Mr. Poilievre, me again. We've got a lot of big questions for you. We wanna know, what is your least favorite province? And could we save money by sinking PEI into the sea?
I think we could save money by spending $1 billion less on terrible comedians.
Absolutely.
And propagandists from the PMO.
Your critics are saying that your policies are far right, even authoritarian. How will you stamp out that dissent when you're prime minister? Thank you. Thank you for standing up for freedom of the press. Let's bring it home. Canada! Canada! Canada!
Well, one thing is for sure. Canada is broken. But that guy in there, that's the guy who's going to finish the job. For 22 Minutes, I'm Dan Dillabaugh.
What do you think of that? Here, let's look at it again. Forgive me. I just want to point out a few things. Look at the first 8 seconds.
Pierre Poilievre loves free speech. You can tell by the way he hates talking to the press and hasn't responded to any of our requests for an interview.
Is that what free speech is? A conservative politician has to be interviewed by an unfunny government comedian or it's censorship? Yeah, no, I don't think so. By the way, the CBC and two of its reporters literally filed a lawsuit against the Conservative Party a couple years ago. Why would any Conservative Party politician be interviewed by someone who sued them? In fact, to be accurate, it was an anti-free speech lawsuit from the CBC. The CBC was arguing that the Conservative Party didn't have the legal right to use short clips from CBC News in their videos. That's not true. Canadian copyright law allows short excerpts to be used by anyone. It's called fair use. CBC knew that. That's what the court ruled in the end. The CBC was just harassing the Conservatives and trying to censor them. Here's what censorship journalists actually looks like in Canada.
Ms. Freeland, how come the IRGC is not a terrorist group? Why is your government supporting Islamo-Nationalism? What? You've been missed. What are you doing?
You're under arrest for assault.
What, sir?
Why are you booking me?
Me?
You're under arrest for assault.
Who are you?
You're under arrest for assault.
Police, you're under arrest.
Okay, back to the unfunny CBC video. Here, watch almost a full minute.
He just doesn't check his email, but he did reach out to me personally with a very thoughtful robocall.
I'm Common Sense Conservative Leader Pierre Poilievre calling to give you a special invitation to my Spike the Hike, Axe the Tax rally at 1 p.m. Sunday, March 17th in Halifax.
And the next Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Poilievre.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Halifax!
I can resist everything except temptation.
I tried to get Pierre to notice me by playing it cool. But I did have to stand in line with my fellow Patriots.
Wow, Pierre Poilievre, such an honor to meet. My name is Dan, I'm with 22 Minutes. It's so nice to meet you. Canada's next prime minister and laser eye surgery success story.
Is that funny? The laser eye surgery thing, I don't know if Pierre Poilievre has had laser eye surgery or if he's wearing contact lenses. I really don't know anything about Poilievre's medical situation. It's a weird personal comment and a bit of a laugh that the CBC thinks Pierre Poilievre, not pretty boy, clothes horse, Mr. Hair, Justin Trudeau, Mr. Fancy Socks, is the one obsessed with cosmetics. But mainly, that's your first best line? You've been waiting for hours. You've had hours to think of a line, And that's all you've got. And in fact, it looks like they were preparing for this for days. That first scene looked like it was filmed in a hotel room, I think. Did they fly this guy in for this or something at taxpayers' expense? I don't know. Here, watch the next few seconds.
Congratulations. I think you're doing an amazing job. Great. If it was up to me, you'd be the leader of the opposition for the rest of your life.
We know. We know that. We know you're opposed to Polyev and the conservatives. You sue them. You hate them. You attack them. But this is your work time, and your job at work is to tell jokes or be funny. Telling the leader of the conservatives that you hope they never win is what you think to yourself in your mind quietly. You don't make funny jokes about that. You don't say, I hope you never win, because that's too on the nose and that's not funny, right? You try and find funny ways to say that. I'm just giving advice. Now, Polyev was obviously caught unawares here. He's at a Conservative Party event. He's meeting conservatives. He's in the handshaking selfie line. He's in the zone. Hi, how are you? Let's have a photo. Hi, how are you? Thanks for your support. And this CBC comedian presents himself, doesn't really identify himself, does he? My name is Dan, and I'm with 22 Minutes. He doesn't say his last name, and he says 22 Minutes, not this hour has 22 minutes. I honestly think Polyev might have missed who this guy was, because no one else watches the show. No one has heard of Dan on 22 Minutes of You. And I think it was deliberately done to be quick and confusing. Our David Menzies always says, David Menzies with Rebel News. He always says that, not I'm David with Rebel, because people might not catch that. This CBC activist was trying to be a trickster. Now, Polyev took a moment to switch gears mentally. It took him about 2 seconds to get into gear. And he says his line about the government comedian having to earn a living rather than living off the taxpayer dime. Now, right there, Polyev just gave more time to the CBC provocateur than Justin Trudeau has ever given to any of our staff combined in the last 9 years. The CBC might not like Pierre Polyev's answer, but he answered, and he didn't call the cops on them. He didn't have the guy arrested. But look at this. Look at the video at 1 minute and 15 seconds into the video. Just watch for a couple seconds.
Rather than getting it from taxpayers' money.
I love that you're cracking down on...
Look at that again for a second.
Taxpayers' money.
I love that you're...
Did you see that? It's an amateur edit. They cut something out of the video. Did you see it sort of jerked for a second there? What did the CBC cut out? Why wouldn't they show that? Did Polyev say something they didn't want the public to hear? Why would they cut anything? Wasn't the whole interaction interesting? Of course it was, but was it embarrassing to the CBC? I mean, did Polyev say anything dumb? Probably not, or the CBC would have aired it. That would have been hitting the jackpot, right? Did the comedian say something dumb or rude or false or worse? If not, why did they cut it out? Don't you think the CBC should have shown the full video? If not, why didn't they? Did the Liberal government tell them not to? I put these questions to the CBC. I got an answer from them. And I'll tell it to you in a moment, but I want to finish the video as they presented it. Okay, back to the video. We'll pick up after their stealth edit. Take a look.
I love that you're cracking down on crime, all right? I love that you're cracking down on murderers, thieves, CBC journalists. I love that you're cracking down on axing the tax.
That's why your ratings are so terrible.
All right, my friend.
No, I think that's heartland.
So the CBC activist continues to babble, even after Polyev is done with him. You can see that other people are shaking Polyev's hands, but the CBC loser is still there babbling away. Okay, fine. This is supposed to be performance art. The CBC guy has had hours, probably days, to think about his lines. And what does he have? I love that you're cracking down on crime, murderers, thieves, and CBC journalists. Okay, my first objection is, where's the funny part? Isn't the whole premise here that we have to tolerate this guy's antics because he's just joking? But where's the joking part? You're cracking down on crime. And the joke is he's treating the CBC like murderers. I think that's a joke. But he's not, is he? Not even a little. I mean, not even enough to make a joke about it. I mean, that joke might work with Chrystia Freeland when they actually did crack down on a journalist, David Menzies, and arrest him and put him in a police car. But this CBC loser is just hanging around, babbling on while everyone else has got their handshake and selfie and moved on. He had his moment to get something funny out. It didn't really happen. So he's sort of sticking around, trying it again. It didn't work. It's a bit pathetic by now, don't you think? Polyev pokes back that the CBC ratings are terrible, and the CBC guy says, I think that's heartland. I had to Google Heartland, I admit, and I discovered it's a CBC show, sort of a family drama. I get it. And it actually looks like it's been a rare CBC ratings success, in the United States at least. Here's a story that says so. A couple of years ago, saying Heartland is actually pretty popular in the U.S. So the joke doesn't even work, even if you understand the reference to Heartland. Heartland's actually doing well, unlike 22 Minutes. Okay, back to the video. Watch this part.
Getting snubbed by my hero was the greatest moment of my life. So I decided to get back in line and do it again.
I'm happy to wait and just, you know, cross my fingers, I guess.
Well, we're going to have to just monitor our time.
Okay, so he wants to go back a second time. I think he realized he blew it the first time. Zero comedy value, zero gotcha value. And believe it or not, they let him go back in. Do you think Justin Trudeau would let our reporters go through a line like that, not once, but twice? So here's the second try. You normally don't get a second chance in comedy to tell a joke again if you blew it the first time. So here's his absolute best effort. Take a look at the next 30 seconds.
Probably have me again. We've got a lot of big questions for you. We want to know, what is your least favorite province? And could we save money by sinking PEI into the sea?
I think we could save money by spending a billion less on terrible comedians.
Absolutely.
And propagandists from the PMO.
What's your least favorite province? Boy, that needed a laugh track, eh? Is that supposed to be funny on its own? Like, was the question supposed to be funny? Or did the CBC actually think Pierre Poilievre would be tricked and say, let me think about that. The province I don't like, I mean, did they really think that he would give them an answer to that and say, I don't like this province? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to understand where the funny part was supposed to be. Sinking PEI into the sea. I just find it hard to believe that's the best they have on their second try. How many chances do you give a guy to tell a joke? By this point, Poilievre knew who this guy was, and he too had a chance to work on his banter. I think Poilievre's response was smoother this time, and that the CBC activists just walked into it by talking about saving money, right? By that point, I think the CBC agent sort of panicked. And he went back to the usual CBC talking points about conservatives. Take a look.
Your critics are saying that your policies are far right, even authoritarian. How will you stamp out that dissent when you're prime minister? Thank you. Thank you for standing up for freedom of the press. Let's bring it home. Canada! Canada! Canada!
Well, one thing is for sure. Canada is broken. But that guy in there, that's the guy who's going to finish the job.
Your critics are saying you're far right, even authoritarian. Really? Is that what his critics are saying? Like bringing in martial law authoritarian, like invoking the Emergencies Act, like regulating the internet, like C-63, like the new life in prison crime for hate, or arresting journalists? Who are these critics is probably a question Pierre Poilievre would have asked if he cared and if he had an apple in his hand. But that last line, thank you for standing up for freedom of the press. This CBC loser, the unfunniest man on TV who had not one but two tries to tell the same joke and was unfunny both times, he was not arrested. He wasn't ignored by Poilievre either. He was slightly disruptive. He got more FaceTime than anyone else seemed to. He faced no consequences. Try doing that to Trudeau.
What are you doing?
Get off me. Hey, I can... Hey, this is assault.
Move.
I'm on a side.
What is this?
I'm on a sidewalk. I am on a side.
What is this? You cannot touch me. Not rushing or working. Hey. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Let go of me. What is this?
You can't. Am I under arrest? Am I under arrest?
But what did he mean by freedom of the press? Is this CBC comedy show, is that journalism? Like, was that supposed to be a news interview? Because it looked like lame performance art, a failed attempt at comedy. Is this guy actually saying that, no, this was real journalism and Poilievre was wrong to not go along with it? Who is this guy, by the way? He didn't say his last name to Poilievre, did he? I Googled him. It's Dan Dillabaugh is his name. Who's that? Not sure. Never heard of him before. Googled him. Just here's some random tweets. I'm just going to read them to you. Donald Trump, your wife is probably cheating on you right now. You're a comedian, right? Part of me thinks this is no longer funny. Part of me thinks this was never funny to begin with. But most of me is going to spend all afternoon photoshopping naked Trump with a tiny little nuke dick in exchange for 3 likes. You're funny. Should all muggles be slaughtered? This conservative firebrand has a few thoughts. When Trump says Obama created ISIS, I think he's a little jealous that Obama created a successful organization. I love this dumb shit country and I can't help it. Not sure what country he's talking about. I'm afraid it's Canada. Everyone, please cut Elon Musk some slack. You all don't understand what it's like to completely suck ass. Really shocked and disgusted to learn that POTUS stands for P. Oh, thanks, urine. Super. I'll stop there. I think it's pretty obvious why this extremely unfunny loser was hired by the CBC, and it has nothing to do with humor, but his politics sure match the CBC's, don't they? By the way, not too long after I sent that message to Chuck Thompson, the head of PR for the CBC, he actually wrote back. And take a look at his email to me. He said, I said, what was missing in that jump cut? Remember I pointed out that there was a bit of an edit there, and what did they cut out? Well, to my surprise, the CBC wrote back to me and they said, well, there was a cut, but it was done in the interest of time. And I thought, is that true? Was it a very long conversation they cut out? Because if it was, I'm guessing they would have shown that. And he actually sent me the full clip, which I asked him to do. I was quite surprised by the CBC response to me. And look, here, we made a little mashup of the version that aired and the version that they cut. Take a look at this little comparison. It's only about 25 seconds.
You know what? You'll have to earn a living rather than getting it from taxpayers' money.
I love that you're cracking down on crime.
You'll have to earn a living rather than getting it from taxpayers' money.
Oh, listen, I'm one of the good ones, okay. All right? I love that you're cracking down on crime.
Oh, listen, I'm one of the good ones, okay. All right?
So they only cut 3 seconds. But it was the 3 seconds of this guy when Pierre Poilievre criticized the CBC. He said, oh, I'm one of the good ones. And then he went back to telling a joke. Why would they cut that out? It wasn't too long. That was a lie. I'm one of the good ones. That was his way of saying to Poilievre, hey, you can talk to me. I'm not like those other CBC guys. I'm on your team. Now, Poilievre's not that stupid, but he gave the game away, that Dan Dillabelle there, didn't he? He said 2 things. He said, I'm not like them. So he threw his colleagues under the bus. But much more importantly, he said, yeah, I know what you mean. They are all liberal. They all hate you. They are all partisan. Not me, though. So please talk to me. They edited that not because it wasn't funny. Nothing in this was funny. They edited that because it was embarrassing to them. This whole ambush shtick was supposed to be embarrassing to Pierre Poilievre. I don't really think it was. I think it took him like 2 seconds to find his talking point, and he did, and nothing really happened. But this loser couldn't get a laugh out of it, but the CBC edited that because they didn't want to show the world that, yes, they're partisan, and yes, this loser threw his colleagues under the bus. And the fact that they lied when they sent me the full clip, oh, we edited it for timing reasons. The CBC never stops with the disinformation. They never stop with the lies. And the fact that they made a political edit, not an editorial edit, not a comedic timing edit, the fact that they made a political edit to their own video shows you more than anything else that the entire CBC operation, from their journalists to their comedians, everything is done with a political lens. Their entire purpose is to act as a liberal stalking horse. There's only 3 things you need to know about the CBC. Number one, they take $1.5 billion tax dollars from you every year. Number two, they hate you. And number three, they lie to you. Stay with us for more. Hey, welcome. welcome back. Well, I really enjoyed my conversation with Candace Malcolm the other day, and I feel sort of a collegial sense with her and with Derek Fildebrand of Western Standard, because we're all the captains of our little ships. And that's the thing, when you're at sea, you can be the captain of a canoe, and then there's a captain of an aircraft carrier, but you're both captains, and there's a commonality there. And I'd love to see the success of True North, TNC.news. By the way, my comment about canoes and aircraft carriers, I'm not implying that either of us are one or the other. I'm just saying, even in small companies like ours, there's a certain respect and understanding of what it goes through to be a founder, which Candace Malcolm is. And we love what she's built. I really do follow it. I love their chief guy, Andrew Lawton. He's a personal friend of mine. And one of the reporters I always cover, not just his stories, but on Twitter, is a reporter named Elie Quentin-Nantel. And forgive my pronunciation, it's a French name, and I apologize if my accent's not spot on. But here's a story that Ailey did the other day, and it caught my eye. The headline is, Campus Watch, son of refugees forced out of Queen's student election for being conservative. I'll read the first sentence, and then I'll bring in Ailey right away. A Queen's University student is speaking out after he and his peers were forced out of an election by activists who claimed he posed a threat to, quote, equity-deserving groups for being affiliated with the Conservative Party. Noah Maji is the son of refugees from Uganda. His two running mates, Jason Kim and Nicholas David Brasset-Duke, are also visible minorities. Joining us now is Elie Quentin-Nantel. Elie, great to see you again.
Yes, likewise, Ezra. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, I believe that anyone and everyone can be conservative. And in fact, these days, I put it to you that the entrepreneurial spirit, protecting families from radical transgenderism, tax relief, I think all of those traditional conservative values are naturally appealing to new Canadians. And of course, then there's cultural values like freedom. And when I read that a guy from Uganda, I thought, I bet he's an Ismaili Muslim. If he's from Uganda, if his name is Noah Maji, those people know what tyranny is like. So I'm glad they're conservatives. And yet they were blocked. Tell me the facts. And by the way, is Noah Maji an Ismaili Muslim?
No, his story is actually even more fascinating than this. So his parents are part of the, there were South Asian people living in Uganda that were exiled in the 70s. And his parents,
from Idi Amin, came, right? He kicked out anyone who wasn't black.
Yeah, so they were kicked out of Uganda and they came to Canada. That's what he told me in the 70s. He was born in Canada. So that's why, you know, he's the son of refugees, not a refugee himself. But his family was Muslim and he's a convert. He converted to Christianity.
Ooh,
so
interesting.
It's a very, very interesting story. I spoke to him for, I would say, a good 40 minutes. The life story is so, so interesting. Someone that has a lot of a very valuable life experience. He's not Jewish, but he is involved with the Jewish community. He's a great ally of the Jewish community. All of these things sound great, except when you are a woke white activist who despises anyone, especially anyone that they view as oppressed, and they would view someone like him as oppressed, and yet he is a successful guy and he's a conservative, so they didn't like that at all, especially that he was involved with the Jewish community, and it has unfortunately become, Ezra, and I see this on my university campus, being a Zionist in 2024 on university campuses is unfortunately become socially unacceptable because of all the radical pro-Palestine propaganda. So unfortunately, even though this student, I think had Noah was such a qualified person, his two teammates were also classified, very diverse. The three of them were incredibly diverse. You had woke activists that actually said, no, we deem that they are not fit to represent equity deserving groups. And therefore, rather than run against them to try to, let's argue that our position is better, we're going to smear you and we're going to try to get you canceled. And at the rules, all it takes is one person to quit and the whole thing falls. One of the guys, unfortunately, fell through that. So the whole bid fell through. unfortunately.
I'm very sorry to hear that. And again, I don't want to read too much into a name, but Jason Kim, I'm guessing that's a Korean name?
An Asian, yes, he's Asian.
And I'm only mentioning this because these are people who, you know, minorities, these are not traditional old stock Canadians. They're either first generation or second generation newcomers. If someone was kicked out of Uganda by Idi Amin, they're for sure descendants of refugees. You would think that these people would check all the boxes, but I guess the one box that they really care about is, are you a leftist? And these three guys, sounds like, weren't. And I mean, I think the left pretends to be intolerant, but they hate nothing more than a minority who doesn't follow the script. I mean, look at the hatred for Clarence Thomas on the U.S. Supreme Court. He's a black judge, but he's the most conservative judge. And the left has so much racism towards him because they consider him a race traitor. Was that the kind of, what did they say about these three guys? How did they attack them? Because if they're a rainbow of racial diversity, they must have said something.
Yeah, so I will just clarify, their issue was specifically with Noah. It wasn't necessarily with the others, because the others are free thinkers and they have their own views. And these three were not like, we're three conservatives, let's take over the joint. They were like, here, I'll read you a quote from when they were running that they put out. They said, students at Queen's have lost their student identity, their student pride, and quite frankly, what it means to be at a prestigious institution to strive for academic excellence. So they actually wanted to generally improve everything for everybody. But according to the activist, they went on Instagram and they said that him being conservative was a concern to the student body. And they also cited he had unclear stances on pressing issues. You know what's the pressing issue, Ezra? What? It's the so-called decolonization of campus. And if you read Frantz Fanon, one of the most famous decolonization author, he says decolonization is always violent. And they're saying that decolonization is a pressing issue. And lastly, as they said, they were very mad that he was aligned with this club, the conservative club, because they supported John A. Macdonald, who they view as the notorious colonist whose legacy represents a violent genocide and the erasure of indigenous peoples. And also they took a big issue with the fact that he was associated with Zionists. So because of that, the whole team was basically attacked with the No Vote campaign abstain, because they were going to be acclaimed. But if there's more people that vote non-confidence, then they can't win. So they were like, we're going to, instead of running against them, as I said earlier, we're going to just attack them. And in the end, one of the people dropped out. So the student union just eliminated everybody.
You know, very frustrating. And the thing about student council politics, and I was involved in student council politics when I was in college, is it's petty and it's bitter. And I think the fact that it's small stakes makes it extra bitter. The crazy thing is people who practice their politics in student council soon graduate. And some of them mm-hmm. go on to being on city council or provincial politicians or MPs. And I think the last few weeks, especially that NDP debate or that motion to denounce Israel, I think you saw student council level antics, wearing the Palestinian keffiyeh, saying extreme things just to shock and awe, no relation to the actual needs of constituents in Canada. I think what you've just described here at Queen's University is a premonition that 10 years from now, those same cancel culture radicals will be doing this sort of thing, but not on a school level. They'll be doing on a wider city, provincial, or country level.
Absolutely. There's two things I'm going to say to that. It's not in 10 years, it's happening now. Right before Christmas, I was having dinner with my best friend, and this was in the midst of being in a class and several classes where everybody was anti-Israel except myself. And there's a lot of issues that I may say, like, maybe this isn't my hill to die on, but I will always defend Israel, because I think the lies and the propaganda and the Jew hatred that goes around Israel is absolutely disturbing, and it has to be confronted, and the lies have to be debunked. But I was telling my friend, I'm like, I think in the next 10 years, the Liberal Party is no longer going to support Israel. Turns out I was wrong. A couple of days later, they started supporting ceasefires, and now they've basically gone full pro Hamas. And yeah, so when I look at people like Blake Desjarlais in the House of Commons, who just a couple of weeks earlier alluded that my friend Eric Duncan, a very good MP, was a traitor to the gay community because he didn't denounce Danielle Smith, or Janice Irwin in Alberta, who is probably one of the worst politicians in all of Canada. She complains all the time about homophobia and transphobia and queerphobia, yet she's silent as gay conservatives get abused by her base of queer activists, and then also wears a kifiyah. Palestine is one of the most homophobic places in the world. 95% of Palestinians oppose homosexuality, and they choose to wear the kifiyah. So the drama, kind of school level politics where there's no substance, everything's about feelings, everything's about emotion and feeling good and being radical. It may get worse in 10 years. I definitely am worried about some of the young leftists I know today, but they're are already a ton of them in parliament. And also a lot of their staff, a lot of MPs are sometimes swayed around by their staff, that those people that are in the classes and the student unions, especially in Ottawa, some of them have jobs on the Hill and they're also influencing policy there.
Oh, wow. Then you said your own classes are this way. What university do you go to?
So I go to the University of Ottawa, which has a terrible reputation for free speech. I'll give you what I had to endure last semester. I found this absolutely insane. The professor puts up to us as a prompt that, well, we're funding Ukraine against the Russian aggression in Ukraine. Why don't we give money to the Palestinian resistance to fight the aggression by Israel? That was literally his question for a class discussion. We had to discuss why we were funding Hamas. To the point that I explained to them everything that happened on October 7th. And here's the thing, it's ignorance. Most of them didn't even know what happened on October 7th. And the most radical ones just deny it all and say, that's not true. That's Zionist propaganda. That's AI. But going back to, I guess, what we're here to talk about, all of this is just part of the problem. Everyone has this woke mind virus. They're getting their information from TikTok. And they are making all these irrational, immature decisions on policy, on student governance, and et cetera. And that's why universities look like what they look like right now.
That is terrifying. I don't know how I would do if I were a student in campus these days. I mean, I sort of like fighting against all odds, but I think it must be very difficult for Jewish students or for non-Jews who just disagree with the pro-Hamas mania. It sounds like it's terrifying. Ailey, I salute you and your courage to write things as strongly as you do, and then to put yourself back in that environment. I'm sure it's not easy for you. Congratulations again on the report. For those who want to find it, it's called Campus Watch at tnc.news. The headline is, Son of Refugees Forced Out of Queen's Student Election for Being Conservative. And the leader there, Noah Maji, the way you describe him, sounds like a very interesting young man. Who knows? Maybe he will have a political career as well. Great to see you, Ailey. Thanks for your time.
Yes, thanks, Ezra. Always a pleasure.
All right, the pleasure's ours. Stay with us. More ahead. Well, that's our show for the day. You know what? My CBC monologue today, it wasn't an important thing, like it was 3 seconds, but the fact that they had such a political lens, the fact that they tried to trick people, the fact that they tried to cover their tracks, and the fact that when I finally discovered them, they still lied. That tells you a lot about the CBC, but not as much as this. They're just not funny anymore, and I think they know it. That's our show for today. Until tomorrow, on behalf of all of us here at Rebel World Headquarters, to you at home, good night, and keep fighting for freedom.